Boker Tov world. Today's daf in the Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Dalet, but there's nothing to be sad about other than what used to be, which are the stories of Avodah Zorah that we have. But right now, Samach Dalet should be pure happiness. Special message to Naftali. No sadness. Okay, we were holding in the middle of this stuff because we went ahead quite a bit yesterday. And we were talking about all of the bitul of the Yetzer Hara, of Avodah Zorah, and the discussion about the attempt to be mevatel the Yetzer Hara for Avera. And we got up to Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav. So this is like seriously down in the middle of the big lines, about 13 lines down. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Continuing on our stories, we find that there was once a woman who was not Jewish, and she was very ill, and so she decided that she's going to make a neder, Omra in Talmud, Ayi Isha Micholya, if I get better, I will go and worship every idol in the entire world. So she figures she can't lose that way. She's bound to get the right one. No, but actually, you know, it's more than that. Like we said yesterday, Ivu Elohu Tarbei doesn't mean that you're not sure which one is which. It's the idea of anything that represents some manifestation of beauty, power, grandeur in the world is something that I want to actually worship. So she decided she's going to go to every single modality of Aveda in the world, and that way she'll be cured of her cancer. Okay, so sure enough, she starts on her world tour. She finally gets to Peor. So, given she gale for or, so she asks the priests over there, okay, so what do I have to do to, get into the good wishes here in brachas of Peor? Bamel of Dimlezu. They said, no problem. You eat a lot of things that give you diarrhea. You know, like eat a lot of borscht and drink a lot of beer. And then you just squirt it all out right in front of that idol. And that's the most wonderful thing you could do. She said, never mind, I'd rather have cancer. And she left. Mutav shetachzor ha'isha l'cholya, v'lo t'avodazor b'kach. I'd rather go back to being sick than to be worshiping in such a way. Says Rav Yehuda, that's this Goya. He was the one who brought the Maisa. But aten Beit Yisrael, einan kein, you're not like that. You don't have enough brains that this woman had. About you, it says, Hanitzmadim leva'al pa'or. Nitzmadim is the lashon that we had of Kitzamit Patil. So remember, in Masechet Kelim, we had an idea that if you have a kli that is able to be mekabel tuma only from the inside, and it's covered with a very tight-fitting cover, so that is tzamid. So then the tumah doesn't penetrate to the inside, and if there's any food or anything, you can actually save it, including the kli itself, of course, from the tumah by having this tight-fitting cover. But meanwhile, if Moshe Rabbeinu refers at the time of the Maisa of Peor, and Hirgu Ish Anashav HaNitzmadim LeBaal Peor, it seems that the connection to Baal Peor was literally like a tzomit posel, a very tight fit that's hard to pull apart. But when it comes to the way Moshe Rabbeinu characterizes those of you who are attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't say you're nitzmadim. It says atem hadvekim. Hadvekim, you know, like, so when you have these dates that end up sticking to each other, we always use the word dvukot. Shteit morot dvukot zo bezo. It's pretty easy to pull two dates apart, don't you think? So that's the difference. When it comes to your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, we can peel you right off. When it comes to your joy in connecting to this Avodah Zorah, then you're stuck on it. Actually, in Matnita Tana, the exact opposite. Anitzmadim leba'al peor is the same word that's used for a bracelet. What's the word for a bracelet? Tzamid, right? Okay, it's easy to take off a bracelet, isn't it? So, ketzamid al yedei isha. That means dvekim means stuck to something. Totally different than just having a clasp that will attach it. Tanrabana. There was another amaisa, Besapta ben Alas, and this was a taxi cab driver who was Jewish, and he rented out his taxi cab. Of course, in those days, a taxi cab looked suspiciously like a donkey, but in any event, he goes ahead, and this is, by the way, Alas, I'm not sure where it is, but as Rashi says, it's not the name of his father, it's the name of a place. So anyway, he rented out his taxi cab, and they're going out to the Baal Par. And he gets to this woman, and she wasn't Jewish. And he's kircha barola nochrit achat, and they come. She's on a tour of holy places, you know, so she comes to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and then she comes to the poor, you know, they're going on this tour. And she says to them, you can keep the meter running. I just got to go in here for a minute and worship this Baal Par. After she comes out, he says to her, okay, do me a favor, will you? I'll turn the meter off meanwhile, but you wait for me while I go in and worship too. Says she to him, what? Well, I thought you're Jewish. Lo yudiata? So he says to her, what is your business? How I conduct myself? So he goes into Beis Peor, and he's par bifanav. So he does the whole shtick, and then he has this ingenious idea of wiping himself on the nose of Baal Peor. And the priests go wild. They say nobody has ever done such a marvelous job of worshiping Ben Peor, Peor like this guy. He's amazing. Me'olam lo haya adam she'avado lezo pekach. Now, it's interesting that many of the Mefarshim understand that he went in there in order to actually insult the Baal Peor. So he was pretending, you know, that he's going to go into worship. But in fact, he figured this would be the most insulting thing he could do. And the priests actually probably understood that that's what, that, at least that's the way they take it. They turned it into an Aveda. Okay, I don't know what the mocker is for this, but it does appear in the Rishonim as well. It's not the way that I was taught the Gemara by my Rebbe, but I'm just saying it over to you. Yeah, but I don't think that's a pun. I think that's what it means. Hapo'er atzmo leva'al po'or. Harezu avodato. So the Mishnah said, if you do that to Baal Peor, well, that would be machai of you because that is the way to do it. And, says the Gemara, this is afagav de mechavein lebizui. It doesn't matter if you want to actually insult this icon and to show how absurd it is and how nauseating it is to worship it in this fashion. So your intent is pure, but that doesn't matter because in worshiping it that way, again, this is if your idea was, let me do its worship in order to insult it. But it's if you just say, I'm going in there to make this thing into a piece of garbage, then that would not be at all, according to some, considered to be an Aveda. But over here, if the Aveda was done, the truth is there's two different Tosfos on this, one that we had earlier, one now, that seem to be at odds with each other about whether the Kavanah has to actually be to be Aved. But anyway, even if the intent ultimately is to insult it, makes no difference. The same thing is true about Hazorek Evan the Merkulis. Zoi avodato. If somebody throws a stone to the Merkulis idol, that is the way that you worship it. And, adds the Gemara, you're too afagav de mechavein lemirgameh. You want to show that you're stoning it, that it's so ridiculous. Nonetheless, if you're doing it as a Merkulis, then it would be its avoda. So Rav Menashe was on his way to Beit Urta, and people told him, oh, look at that, look at that. That's an Avodah Zorah, Yidikoyacha. That thing, that pile over there, that is an Avodah Zorah. And so he takes a piece of dirt and he throws it at it. So then they said to him, but that was a Merkule's idol. And by throwing dirt at it, you're actually not insulting it. That's the way people worship it. Omar Lohu, he said, no. The Mishnah says, Hazorek Evan Limerkulis. Limerkulis means you present it as a gift to Merkulis. But I threw it at Merkulis. And doesn't say in the Mishnah that that is the Aveda. So, Atashol Be Mitrasha. So they went to ask in the Beis HaMedrash, what's the right girsa? Amrulo, you have it wrong. In the Mishnah, it says, Hazorek Evan Birmerkulis. Actually, you throw it at the Merkulis, and that's the Aveda, which is Mashma Afagav the Mechavin Lemirgame, even if your intent is to be stoning it. So what you did, even though obviously you didn't know it was a Merkulis, and there was no intention of Aveda, but it looks really bad. Amar Lahu, Izelishkale, I better go and take the stone away. I mean, otherwise it'll look like additional people worshipped it. Amrulo, no. If you take the stone away, that's also a modality of worship. Echad hanotla, ve'echad hanotna chayav. Why? Because kol chora v'chora, rav chola chavarta shavit. One of the ways of worshipping Merkulis is to remove some of the stones from around it in order to allow other people to throw stones at it. So the constant movement of the stones is itself a chelek of its avodas. As the Rambam paskins, ben lisakel mipanel, to take away from her the stones would also be considered to be an avoda of Merkulis. But what you did was wrong, and you shouldn't actually attempt to rectify it by taking anything away. And now we're ready for our marvelous Capitan. At least we hope we're ready. The question is he ready? And if he isn't ready, the question is Doc ready? We can see his heart starting to pound as he gets this incredible opportunity to lead us all into the mikveh, straight through his clinic. Go for it, Doc! There you go. Has straight and cut down to the core. The Pythi Doc has given us a new Mishnah. Okay, so now we're moving on to this very strange new Aveda. Now, this is the Aveda of Molach. Now, Molach, the meaning of Molach is making something like a melech over yourself, not a god. And so because of that, there are many shitas that hold, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that Molach is not actually an Avodah Zorah at all. It's an Avodah Zorah, as the Rambam explains. And this is a very amazing thing. The Rambam describes in Hilchas Avodah Zorah, so Avodas Kochavim, he has this whole parak describing the various types of Avodah Zorahs and what the Yisurim are that we just went through up until this Mishnah. And talking about what is Derech Avodah say, what are the Arba Avedas, and all the things that our Gemara just finished. Then, two prokim later, he comes to discuss the dinim of Molach together with halachas that have to do with the various minhagim of Avodah Zorah, such as the magical stuff that they do, superstitions, and so on and so forth. He then talks about Molach, and he calls it, surprisingly, he calls it a, not an Avodah Zorah, but he calls it Avodah Hazot, that we call Molach. So it isn't really a normal kind of Avodah Zorah. And because of that, as we'll see, there's a big machlokas about whether the things that you do for it have to do with actually Avodah Zorah, so they would be applicable to other Avodah Zorahs, or is it a special kind of Aveda, and it's the Aveda that is Zorah, not an icon. And therefore, there is no particular icon that's associated with the Molach, because then it doesn't even belong together with all of the others. And this is what happens to Capitans. They're replaced when they end up taking Ben and Jerry's instead of an icebreaker through the ice. My gosh, last time you tried that, the whole ship went down. All right, so we're already in the mission edit. You were meant to introduce. All right, Sir Richard. So now let's learn about that avoda. Anotein mizar olamo. So what the Torah says is mizaracha lo titein lahavir lamolach. So note that there's two different things there. Lo titein, don't give your children or from your children, to be ma'avir. Ma'avir means to passing it through. And we're going to see that that means passing the child through a fire. So hanotein mizar olamolach eno chayav achi yimsar lamolach. You have to hand the child officially over to the Moloch, the Moloch being the great ruler who is in charge, not an idol. And it has to also be, you must also be Ma'avir Ba'esh. You have to pass the child through fire. We're going to talk about the details of all of this. What if you just gave it over to the Moloch, but you never passed it to child, the child through fire? Or vice versa. You pass the child through fire, but never handed him over to the Moloch. You would not be chayiv until you do both. Yimsor l'moloch, yavir b'esh, and the Gemara is going to explain all of these words as we go along. Now, this is very strange because the Mishnah here in this parak, I mean, we talked about all these different avodah zarah, and then we make this new thing, which is called Moloch. I mean, why don't we just include this Moloch with the various dinim like we've been talking about? You know, Merkuli is a type of god, and we talked about Pa'or. It's talked about Merkuli, Moloch. What is this? Omar Rabbi Oven, well, obviously the structure over here is going according to Mandi Omar Moloch Lav Avodah Zarah. This is clearly understands the Moloch not to be part of the normal Avodah Zarah. And this is actually a machlokis, the Tanya. According to the Tanakama, whether you give your child to Moloch or to any Avodah Zarah, you would be chayev. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, this is a particular thing that is done with a Moloch. But Shalom Moloch Potter, it's not considered to be a normal ritual. So therefore, the Tanakama holds that it's just a type of Aveda, and you would be chayev, apparently, even if this was not derech Avedasai. Because, look, if the Moloch is just a regular Avedah Zarah, and the way of worshiping the Moloch is by passing your child through this fire in front of it, then why would I need a special pasuk to tell me about it? We know that the overall pasuk of Echa Yavdu Agoyima Eloet Elohim and Vesachingam Oni. That is exactly what makes any Avodah Zarah at any time in history a Avodah according to the way the people worship it. That becomes its Avodah. If Moloch was just another one of those crazy things, so what would be the point of the Torah mentioning it? Obviously, it's included in the overall halacha of not worshiping Avodah Zarah Kederech Avodah Ta. So that would mean that if indeed this is an Avodah Zarah, it must be that the Torah is coming to teach us a brand new universal modality that would be applicable to all Avodah Zarah. So therefore, if you're telling me that you're chayev for the Moloch, Davodas HaMoloch to any Avodah Zarah, clearly you hold that the Moloch is an Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Pusik that Asr is worshipping the Moloch in its normal fashion is there in order to teach me that any Avodah Zarah is like Zvicha, is an overall universal Avodah, so too is this type of Avodah Moloch of passing a child through to any Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that would mean that the Tanakhama holds that you are actually going to be over on any Avodah Zarah. It's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the whole idea is that this is something unique. It is not an Avodah Zarah, and therefore this is not included in the modalities of Avodah Zarah. And because of that, you would not be chayev, definitely not be chayev, if you did this to anything else. Omar Abaye, you should know that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus both say exactly the same thing. Namely, that the Moloch is not an Avodah Zara. Now, I just quoted to you Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, as we just noted. Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus, I'm referring to a Braita. Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus says, why did the Torah use the word Moloch instead of using the word Avodah Zara? And that teaches us that the Moloch is not really an Avodah Zara. It's Himlichu Aleihem. Whatever people consider to be at that moment, something that is in their minds a manifestation of leadership in the world. So it's like a melech. So this is considered to be my melech. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a grasshopper, you know. It could be a tzror. Be a little stone. It could be a toothpick. I don't know. Makes no difference. The point is that you're calling it the Moloch. So you see that it's obviously not a real Avodah Zarah. Rava says, no, you're right that in general they're saying things that are related, but it's not exactly the same. Because what it was that Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus was mechadesh is that you can have a virtual Moloch, essentially, which is a Moloch Haroi. In other words, you don't really need something that's a serious Moloch. It's whatever you happen to just set up on a moment's notice, you know. So it's a virtual Moloch, a portable Moloch. That would be the difference. Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus says, Kol Shim Lichu Aleihem. But that is not true, maybe, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon thinks that there's such a concept of Moloch where in your life this is an important thing, and not where it's a hereby W ruler, and then you take your kid and you pass it through the fire. So they're not necessarily saying exactly the same thing. I would disagree with you. Omer Rabbi Yanai. Now, when we say yimsereno, how do you hand a child over to a grasshopper? Well, it doesn't mean that. It means eino chayav ad yimsereno l'mishartei avodah zarah. The Moloch has its priesthood, and you have to give it over to one of these experts at how it is to take children through the fire. So you're only chayev to give it over to them because it says, Mizaracha lo detain la havir. Don't give your kid to someone in order to be ma'avir the kid to Moloch. Kani nami achi, yocho le'avir velo basar yechayav. You might think if you don't like salesmen. So you're the type of person that goes into a department store, and when the salesmen come over, you say, I'm just looking. So you walk into the Moloch place, and they come over to you and say, can we help you, sir? No, I'm just looking. Then you go, you take your kid, and you pass him through this fire all on your own. After all, a moment of great spiritual significance should not be shared with a salesman. All right, so you try to do this on your own. You might think that you were chayav. Yochalev yer velo masar. Yehi chayav tamud lomar lo titain. What is a lo titain? Because you have to hand it over as part of the actual, what the Rambam calls, avoda zu shishmo Moloch. It's the avoda that's called Moloch. It is not a thing. Fascinating idea. Okay, you'll notice, of course, that we always refer to this whole concept as avodah zarah. We never talk about icons. We talk about the avoda that is weird. It's alien, right? So it's not hilchos Elohim achirim. It's the hilchos avodah zarah. Like, whoa, that's weird. So this is like the only place where there is no particular object, but it's the avodah zarah. I think the Rambam really is enjoying making that point finally, which is very, very striking, right? So on the other hand, let's say you just hand over the child to the salesman. So you were maser l'moloch, but then you didn't put the child through. Maybe you let the salesman do it. No. You have to be ma'avir. So yochu yechayev, tamad lomar, leha'avir. This is in order for you to put the child through. Mosar veheavir shalo l'moloch. Now, you might think that if you hadn't set up this idea that something is moloch and you're just passing a child through the fire, you might think that also that would be a chiyuv. And if you would hold that, then it would mean that any time you would pass a child through a fire to any avodah zarah, that that would be considered to be an avodah. Talmud lomar, no, lamolech. That's what the whole pasuk has to specify, molech. Masar lamolech. Okay, so apparently this is going according to Mandi Omar. Well, that molech is not considered to be an avodah zarah. Masar v'havir lamolech. Suppose you did give the child over, and you were mavir the child. We'll see what that would mean in a moment. But there was no fire. Yochel yechayav. Ah, because look, it says lahavir. Where does it say lahavir? It says lahavir. I mean, so it has nothing to do with fire. So what gives you the idea that Moloch has anything to do with fire anyway? I mean, it doesn't say fire ever when it comes to the Moloch. So you might think, okay, so then you'd be chayiv. Therefore, the Torah says over here, Exera Shava. By Moloch, it says lahavir lamoloch. And then we find a general issue. Lo yimatse becha ma'avir b'no uvito ba'esh. And there it doesn't say molach. And it says lahavir in both cases. Therefore, the Gzeirah Shavah teaches us that just like over there it says ba'esh, it's here too it means ba'esh, afkan ba'esh. And just like over here it specifies when is this true, only lamolach, so too when it says ba'esh, it means lamolach. Omer avach b'reid rava. If you had 10 kids and you put them all through at the same time to Moloch, you'd be potter. Or if you only have one child and this is all of your offspring, have your kol zaro, you would be potter. Shenema mizaracha, can't give a truma from your children, but not kol zaracha. If you're going to do this for your whole family to share the blessings, then you would be potter. Boy Rav Ashi, how about if the child was actually unable to enjoy the experience because he was blind? Or what if he was fast asleep? Or what if it wasn't your child? What if it was your grandson or your granddaughter? Ben Beno, Ben Bito, what would be the din in all of these cases? Well, can't answer all your questions, but I can answer one of them from a brayta. Tivshat miyachoda, Titania. Ki mizaro natan lamolach. Now, what in the world is that supposed to mean? It's completely repetitious. Vaniyaten et banai ba'ishahu v'ichrati oto mikerev amo ki mizaro natan lamolach. Well, obviously, that's what you said a moment before, right? Don't, you say, don't pass your children to Moloch, and you're going to be chorus. And then the next pasuk says, and if you do, I'm going to be machris you because you gave mizaracha lemolach. I mean, it doesn't teach me a darn thing, does it? Ah, but it does, you see. Because, look, the pasuk initially says that lo yimatse becha mavir b'no ubito ba'esh, right? So now, if that would be true, since it specifies b'no uvito, eni ela b'no uvito, so I would only know Beno Vito. But Ben Beno, Ben Bito Minayin, how would I ever know that it includes your granddaughter, your grandson? Therefore, the pasuk over here says, Betito Mizaro Lamolach. Now, this is very strange, because that's not the pasuk that we said we're going to prove it from. This is a different pasuk. We started off by saying, Ki Mizaro Natan Lamolach, right? And we said, I'm going to tell you what that pasuk is for. That's coming to tell you your grandchildren. But then you bring a totally different pasuk. And that pasuk, in fact, reads completely differently. It's not the ki mizaro natan lamolach, but it's rather the pasuk of im ha'aleim ya'alimu ama'aretz et einehem mi'a'ishahu. This is the next pasuk. If the people are going to pretend that they didn't see it, betito mizaro lamolach, and they are not going to kill him, but vilti amitoto v'samti ani et panai ba'ishahu, I, God, will take care of him, and I'll wipe him out, v'ichrati oto v'kolos anim acharot. Now, wait a minute. You started by telling us you're going to give us the explanation for why it says Petito Mizar Olamolach, right? And then you quote a different pasuk, which is the next pasuk. Instead of saying that Kimi Zarona Tanlamolach, sorry, that's what I meant, you end by bringing the next pasuk, which is Betito Mizar Olamolach. And what is this? Now that's a remez. That the first pasuk was correct. I didn't want to go over it again, Talmud Lomar. You got brains yourself. So when I say Talmud Lomar and I quote you the next pasuk, it's a remez to you that there too we have another limud, which is, since it repeats, if the first pasuk it says, Zar-o, so okay, maybe that would mean your child that is kosher. But, I mean, if you've fathered a child in every port, you know, so you've got mamzerim all over the place. I mean, that mamzerim, they don't count. It would have to be zera kosher. How do we know zera posel minayin? Talmud Lomar adds a new posek, betito mizar o. The important thing is it from you or not? If it's from your offspring, then you would be chayev, kosher or potter. Now, what exactly is done to this child when you pass him through the fire? Omer Yehuda, eno chayav ad she'avirenu derech havara. You would not be chayev unless you do it the right way. Well, what is the right way? I know nothing about this. Hechidami. Omer Abaye, listen, the way that this works is that the child isn't burned, the child isn't hurt. What you do is, a shraga de livnei b'mitzai, so you put up this wall of bricks in the middle, and you have a nura mihai gisa, nura mihai gisa, and then the child is not actually put into the fire, but the child is brought over the bricks and protected from the fire, with the fire around him looking very exciting on either side. That's the way to do it. And that would be, this is amazing, says Rava, you know what that's like? That's like the shtick they do on Purim. Everybody loves to do this on Purim. So all the kids, what they do is they make a big fire inside of a bar, right? This is the original Lag BaOmer. And then all the kids jump over the fire. So it has to be done by jumping. It's got to be fun. I mean, you know, so it's the way that you do it on Purim. That would be the Ha'avara. And in fact, Tani Kavase de Rava, it seems to be clear that that's true because it says, Enu Chayav Ad She'Yavirenu Derech Avara. But if you pass him through on foot, you're put. Now, the question is what does that mean? It seems to be saying that if you carry the child through on your foot and you have him on you, then you're not Chayav, but you actually have to have the child jump over? Now, the Rambam seems to paskin totally against the Gemara, and he says, only if you're Maviro Baraglo, and everybody goes crazy. What? The Gemara says exactly the opposite. So basically, the way the Mefarshim understand the Rambam is the Shraga de Livne is not a column of Levenim, rather, it's a pathway that is made with Levenim on one side, Levenim on the other side, and then you have the fire on the outside of the Levenim. The father puts the kid on his shoulders so that the kid is the only one who sees the flames, right? And the father's walking through, and that would mean that if you would bring him over on his rego, you would be punter, but at the derech ha'avara would be that the father walks through, and therefore nobody is hurt. And that's all that it is that the Rava was talking about. It's a totally different way of seeing the Gemara. But anyway, it's fascinating. It seems clear that no matter how we learn it, the child is not injured in any of this. Now, there's a lot of discussion in the Havara Be'esh, in the Ramban, and the other Rishonim of the Mefarshei HaMikra, which bring many rayas, including the story of the Melech Moav and so on, that there was certainly a human sacrifice element that was prevalent, and that somehow we have to make this consistent with whatever this idea of Moloch is, but the Gemara is saying clearly that's not it. Sorry?
The Phoenician
told him.
Very kind.
Right. The Eno Chayav Ela Al. So when we say Yotze Yerecho, I mean, we said that. I know saying Mizaro. Isn't Zaro Yotze Yerecho? Last I heard. So what exactly is added over here? I mean, why are we explaining it? Obviously, you mean to say that it's not what you would think, that it means only your direct children. So as opposed to what? Al-Ketzat. So what's the Tana coming to tell me over here? He's coming to tell you that in general, we would have understood the idea as meaning anyone who shares your genes. Therefore, it's coming to tell me, no, it has to be Yotzei Yerecho. So this is a fascinating thing, because remember that we take the word Zaracha very seriously. It literally means your sperm. In other words, it's the connection to the genes that you are carrying. Because of that, I would have thought that Zaracha, that's the Zera Avraham Oavi. It means literally Zera. And I pointed out that the Latin for Mizaracha is Semini. In the, take a look in the various masses that talk about Zera Avraham. All of the masses utilize in Latin the Semini Abraham. And that means that I would have thought, this is the only time that I know of that the Gemara actually needs a specific Pirush, that Zera doesn't mean your genes. It actually means Yotzei Yerecho. But otherwise I would have thought that it would have included your mother, your father. So it's quite astonishing, no? Aviv v'imo, ochi v'achoto. We need to define that he's Potter. And that's what the Gemara is adding over here. I mean, the Braita is adding over here. How about if you put yourself through the fire? Have your atzmo, you would be putter. Whereas Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon says, you would be chayiv. We're going to get to this in a moment. We're first going to see the Braita. Now, this Braita holds, echad lemolach, ve'echad l'shar avodah zarah chayav. And it's here that Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon makes it clear that he disagrees, and that it's not a derech of avodah zarah, but it's only lamolach hayav, but shalom lamolach, he's potter. This is the bright that we spoke about earlier. Now, what about this business of going through the fire yourself? What is that, machlokas? Omar Ula, my taima, the Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon, where would Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon get that idea that you would be chayav for heavier atzmo? Omar Kro, lo yimatzei becha. What is that becha referring to? That becha is a focus on you. So in other words, you, ba'atzmecha, shall not be found to have passed through to Moloch. I don't understand, but how could the Rabbanan ignore that? The Rabbanan don't take the word becha seriously? I mean, what about the mission we had back in Bava Metzia? If you have a choice between recovering, let's say you've got two animals are wandering away, and one of them belongs to you, and one of them belongs to your father, which one do you go to get first and risk losing the other? Avedato v'avedat aviv, shelo kodemet. Your own always comes first. V'amrinan, my taima. What's the basis of this? And Rabbi Yehuda said, it's a pasuk. Omar kra, efes ki lo yeh becha evyon. There's no way that you can allow yourself to become poor. And the becha means, shalo kodemet, shalo kol adam. You come first, before anyone. So therefore, the Rabbanan apparently darshened becha, and they should have darshened it exactly the same way over here. Lo yimatzei becha, the way Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon darshens it. So what do they do with that word? No, says the Gemara, that's not true. The reason that they darshan becha is because of the efes. What does efes mean? Efes is a tzivoy. It means you've got to see to it that that doesn't happen. And therefore, we understand the becha means you have to make sure that you don't become poor by overdoing the goodness to other people. So that this is precisely the antithesis of the Christian ethos, in which it's the other person that you exist for, and never for yourself. No greater friend hath he but one who lays down his life for his... Was it Marx who said that, as Jaime pointed out? Anyway, but the idea is that in any event, it's always you first, which, of course, that's part of the Lech Lecha, and that's Lo Yebecha, right? That everything in the world was created for you. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. Before, we talked about the idea of having three separate psukim, which Reish Lakish explained. Why do we need three separate psukim of mentioning the Isser Yishtach Avoya? Now we want to know, why do we need three separate psukim in the sugya of Avodah Zorah? Because in the sugya of Avodah Zorah, for Koris is what bothers us here. Before, it was Yishtach Avoya. So we've got these completely different chiyuvim, which all seem to be repeating the same idea that you're chayev chatas, chayev kores, which of course is the basis of being chayev chatas b'shogeg. But why do we need it? Well, we've got two that are actually referencing Moloch. You have to realize this is a little bit confusing if you know that Moloch is not enough at Isara. But nonetheless, the idea of Koras being associated with the overall nonsense that doing these type of things, these ridiculous religious things. So one of them is Ani Atenes Panai Ba Ishahu Vihrati Otomi Keravamo Visamte Ani At Panai Ba Ishahu Bimishpachto Vihrati Oto. Wow. Okay. And as Rashi says, this is true, even if it's not technically Avodah Zarah, but it's treating it like an Avodah Zarah. And the other one is Kidvar Hashem Baza, Vet Mitzvato Hefer, Hikaret Tikaret HaNefesh Ahi. And that was in Shlach. And that was talking about somebody who's Oved Avodah Zarah. What would be the point of mentioning something three different times? Is there a specific chiddush that we're missing here? Says Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, I have the point. I say that one of them teaches me if you do this when it's kiddarka, now the Gemara obviously is going to explain all of this, if it's kiddarka, and the other one is shalo kiddarka, and one of them is the special din of Moloch. So if you do an Avodah Zarah the way it's normally done, the other one is when you do it in a way that's not normally done, which we said you could do with either Zvicha, Haktora, Zrikas Hadam, Nisuch, Yishtach Avoya. So we need to know that each one of those is also an Isser Kores, and one is for the Moloch. And what about if you hold Moloch is an Avodah Zarah? Why do you need a separate Kores with a Moloch? That would be where you're mavir, but it's shelo kedarka. So you would be chayev, that would be the chiddush, that you would be chayev koris, even if you hold that this is an avodah zarah, if you do it to an idol. Remember, we said, if you hold that it's an avodah zarah, you have to ask yourself, why do we need the whole extra pasuk? It's just like any other avodah zarah, right? So we said, the chiddush would be that it's coming to tell me that this is a primary type of Aveda. So then how about if it would be to an idol where it's shelo kedarka? So I need to know that that includes the din of Koras. And what about according to the Mandi Omar, who says that as Hashem hu migadef is not a reference to Hashem hu migadef with Birkas Hashem. It's not blasphemy. As Hashem hu migadef, according to one Mandi Omar, is it's an additional iser of Avodah Zarah. However, the Gemara increases, says, that there's the Mandi Omar that adds that there's an iser of being a chazan for Avodah Zarah. So if you sing for Avodah Zarah, then that itself is would be a chi of chorus. And according to the Mandi Omar, that says that it's Megadev, that it's an Avodah Zarah, so then why do I need it once again? If this is considered to be a Derech Aveda, why do I need to have it specifically again? Says the Gemara, Lekita Tanya, Hikaret, Tikaret, Hanefesh Hayim. What is Hikaret? Hikaret Bolam Hazeh, Tikaret Lolam Haba, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So the din is that Kores would mean that your life will end before its time, and your neshama will be cut off from Olam Haba. Omar lo Rabbi Yishmael, hey man, you know, the pasuk before said v'nichrata nefesh ahi. So we've got three choruses. How many worlds do we have? You know, I mean, I've heard of third world countries, but I mean, is this really, is there another world that we need a hikaret, tikaret, and another v'nichrata? Stop giving us these kind of explanations. I'll tell you what it means. What it means, something totally different. What it means, now, of course, this is really not Akasha on Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that the Megadef is really Megadef. It's Rabbi Yishmael is asking this question only according to his own Shita, that the chorus of Megadef is a reference to Avodah Zarah also. This is what he's saying, okay, so why do we need three? But Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to take this question seriously. He's just pointing out that according to the correct way of understanding the pasuk, which of course is my way, so then we end up with three references, and where's the three worlds? Okay, so what it means is, says Rabbi Yishmael, is like this. V'nichrata indeed means be'olam hazeh. Ikaret means lo'olam haba. The meaning of hikaret, tikaret, is just, it's meant as poetry. It has nothing to do with teaching us extra words with worlds. It's divrei Torah k'lashon b'nei adam, which of course is the general way that Rabbi Yishmael interprets these things. Divrei Torah k'lashon b'nei adam means you're not mechuyev to stretch things and to give another explanation. Of course, according to Rabbi Akiva, this was irrelevant. So the Tesis HaRosh points out that this Rashi is simply not true. Rashi says, when we were talking about Chizkiyoh, right? So first of all, the problem with Chizkiyoh is if the child isn't burned, so when it says, Af Aviv Shel Chizkiyoh, that Achaz wanted to put him through, what would have been the big deal? Why did his mother have to smear him with salamandra that needed to be created specifically to save Chizkiyoh's life and so on, if there was never any danger to the child, right? So that's where the Mufarshim point out that that was not Molech. There was the Tophet, there were other things that were done to children that actually would be child sacrifice. That's a different issue. But Rashi says over there, what is the Raya that Achaz wanted to do that? Because it says that Gam is Banav, he was Sorav Be'ech, right? And Rashi says, V'lo matzinu od banim to Achaz, except Chizkiyoh. Tain is the Tosis HaRosh, that there's a Beferish of Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim listing a bunch of children for Achaz. So why does Rashi say we don't find any other children for Achaz but Chizkiyoh? Shocking. And indeed, how do we know that it's only a reference to Chizkiyoh? I mean, the pashtus is that Rashi is not referring to the entire Tanakh. He's referring to in the Sifrei HaNeviim. And we do not find in the story that it would be Nogea anyone else but Chizkiyoh, that of course it's mentioning Chizkiyoh. It's not that Rashi is saying he literally didn't have any other children. I just wanted to mention that point. Okay, I forgot to talk about it yesterday. Exactly. That's to be technically over, because the way the Chazon Ish explains the fact, was it the Chazon? I think it's the Chazon Ish. Explains the fact that if you give all of your children to Moloch, you would be putter. That's because the Torah preserves the chiyuv of Misa only to people who deserve Misa. Meaning that the fact that Bezdin is maimis him is a tremendous kapara for him. If you're not roi for that kapara, so trap dead normally. Why should we kill you? And then burn in hell. Who cares about you? The point is that Misa is viewed as a kapara. And if he's that crazy that he's ready to give his entire family over to Moloch, why kill him? The man's basically dead. Anyway, it's a cute approach.